Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We are live today with this broadcast. Joining me is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning. Enjoying the partial thawing of the great freeze here. I heard a wonderful sound coming over to the studio a few minutes ago.
What's that?
It was water dripping.
Okay.
The ice is thawing finally here.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be where we live here in Tupelo. It's going to be the weekend before it actually goes away.
Yes.
I'm going to start referring to Walker as Walker Fishtail Wildman. You fishtailed this morning a little bit, did you?
Yeah, I've slid
sideways. For those who don't know, we got, like much of our listenership right now, we got probably 3 inches of ice the other day, earlier, and then we got packed on that one out to about 3 inches of snow now, and the roads are treacherous. Go ahead.
Yeah, the roads are terrible, and my truck, it drives okay. It actually drives better in the snow than it does the ice because it actually has some traction. But I fishtailed this morning, and Fred, I learned, I'm sure you know this from being up north, but I learned not to try to fight the fishtail, just to go with it.
Yeah, sometimes that's the best solution.
So I just whipped my wheel in whatever direction the ice wanted to go. And
I think you're supposed to do it in reverse or something like that.
That's the philosophy, yeah.
Hmm?
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to turn into wherever you're sliding.
Right, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I tried to fight it at first, and
that
was an exercise in futility. So I just went with wherever the truck was going.
On a normal morning, I live about 15 to 17 minutes away from the studios here. And this was not a normal morning. So my lovely and talented wife, Allison, got up with me to drive because I don't need another wreck on my record. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Those insurance companies start raising eyebrows or canceling you. You know, that's cancel culture. So she drove me in this morning, but a couple points there along the way. I just want our listeners to know the extent we go. Fred, we all sacrificed to come in this morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a couple points though, driving in, she said, you know, I have absolutely no control of the car right now, right?
At least she was being honest.
I said, take your foot off the accelerator. She said, that's the problem. It's not only accelerator. We're gliding.
Yes.
We're gliding now. And then a couple times got frustrated with the people coming up behind you. You know, these rednecks want to drive, you know, 40 on ice.
A little sliding is it doesn't scare me. It's when there's like stop signs and a mailbox that's in between me and the other side of my truck being done sliding. That's where the problem happens.
Yeah, there's no more helpless feeling than being on ice and your car's just going its own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, we don't have it near as bad here as a lot of our friends and listeners in Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas, right?
Oh.
And parts of Mississippi, too.
You're exactly right. A little bit of good news out of Texas this morning. Remember earlier in the week we were talking about 4.5 million people being without electricity?
Yeah.
That number is down to just below 1 million now. But that's still a lot of folks just in one state without power.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't talked about other states. You just mentioned a few there. But more than 320,000 homes in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama as of a few hours ago, we're without power as well. So this has moved across from Texas. Oklahoma also is feeling the effects of this. Mississippi, Hinds County, somebody told me as of late last night, 27,000 people. It's a Jackson area.
Yeah.
27,000 people without power there. And on top of this, in Texas and in Louisiana in particular, this cold weather has broken water pipes. And so now these folks, they don't have electricity, a lot of people. Now they don't have water. First, they were told the water was bad because some of the lines had broken. Now some of them don't have water even to boil. So this is not going to be over for a while yet for a lot of these dear folks. And some of them are great listeners of ours here at AFR, and we send our prayers out to them.
Yeah, we have a whole host of stations, probably 20 of our AFR radio stations that have been affected by power outages, or we have low power. Walker, we're talking about water freezing in the house. Some people have their water above in the attic, right?
Yeah.
That's where you get a problem right there.
Yeah, some hot water heaters in the attic. So you've got water lines, cold water lines going from the street to the attic. And then that's where, at my old house, that's where I had freezing a couple years ago. So you got to keep your water running. If you can keep it dripping, even a mild drip, it keeps the water flowing so it doesn't have time to freeze.
Yeah, ours is inside the house. It's not in the attic. But people who have... That's where I hear the problems come in, because, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
In the attic. But it'll be a few days. I was looking at the weather forecast. It'll warm up across the south, including Texas, probably start warming up Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
But,
this time next week, the temps are supposed to be in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, so.
Get back to normal. Very tough situation. And, boy, they're going to have to do an autopsy. That's what you want to call it, on what happened in Texas. They already got an investigation.
Yes.
Scheduled, but, man, can't have that happen again.
Yeah, that's been terrible. I really felt bad.
Talking about nearly 5 million people?
Oh, yeah. Early on, there were some pictures that I saw coming out of Houston, Texas in particular. And I know this has to be frustrating. There was a few stories are written on this. You have houses outside of the city that are without power, but you looked at the skyline of the city of Houston, and some of these big office buildings, 20, 30 mm-hmm. stories, whatever, all had lights on.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I saw a photograph from space.
Mm.
You know how you can see they'll show you lights on it. You can see lights on at night from space. And it showed the city of Houston, and it was amazing.
Mm.
You know, I like half the, it was like blinking, like half the city went out, and they were like, it was rolling blackouts. It was kind of scary to look at in terms of the power grid going down, and combined the frigid temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one fella had his car on. I wouldn't recommend you do this, by the way. He had his car on, and he had a, funnel about 15 feet away into his house. You see what I'm saying here? He was funneling the heat from his automobile into his house.
Mm.
Huh. I guess if you're desperate.
Yeah, as long as your car's outside.
Yes.
It wasn't in the garage. It was outside. But then talking about people having to sleep in their cars, to keep from freezing to death.
Mm.
But anyway, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, folks want to join us online, how can they do that?
Yes, you can always go to our website, afr.net. afr.net's our website. You can listen live there, and you can also catch past shows. We have an app on your smartphone, on your tablet device. Just type in AFR in the App Store, and you can listen to the app. Listen live for free there. And lastly, we're on Facebook and YouTube. You can watch Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in the name of the show, and you'll be able to watch the show live each weekday, 10 to 11:30 Central.
Jan Markell will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, talk radio, if you're in the radio business, talk radio is the most popular format. And the man who is kind of credited with putting Fox Radio or talk radio on the dial, and that's the man, Rush Limbaugh, passed away yesterday, 70 years of age. He'd been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer about just over a year ago. But what a name. And if you know anything about talk radio, Rush Limbaugh's name had to be near the top of that. I wanted our listeners, he had an audience of around 15 million people a day in his network of stations across the country. And but there may be some people out there who are not familiar with his talk show. So I wanted to play you a little bit about Rush Limbaugh, kind of the conservative king of talk radio. Cut number 10.
This actually makes total sense when you look at who the Nobel people are, these elite Norwegians, Europeans. They love what Obama is doing. And this fully exposes, folks, the illusion that is Obama. This is a greater embarrassment than losing the Olympics bid was. And with this award, and Obama got it right. He knows exactly why he was given this award. The elites of the world are urging him, a man of peace, to not do the surge in Afghanistan. They are urging him not to take on Iran. That's what this, if you want to get serious about it for a minute, is what this is really all about. How can he now send 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan?
That's Rush Limbaugh back in the days of President Barack Obama. And that's just kind of a taste of the kind of radio program. 3-hour show every day. He did a live show every day. And so much came from his decision to turn that kind of talk and conversation into an incredible winner as far as listeners across the country. Incredible icon, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm trying to think his numbers, Walker. I want to say he averaged, 12 to 15 million listeners a day.
Yeah.
I want to say that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You might look that up. You know what was amazing? A couple things about, and we mentioned this yesterday because news broke during our program about Rush Limbaugh dying from the cancer, as you said, Fred. A couple things about that. One is you just noted for a person to be able to carry a program by themselves. Now, obviously, he had a team around him who helped him produce the show and so forth, but I'm talking about just basically doing a 3-hour monologue on the issues of the day, three hours. Rarely did he have guests on that I heard. And that's just an amazing talent, just a gift that's, that's a very, very, very few people have. And to be able to articulate, what's going on in the world and keep up with everything and be able to carry a show for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 decades. It's just amazing.
I'm reading anywhere from 30 to 40 million daily listeners.
30 to 40 million?
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. I had no idea.
He was on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations.
Yeah, I know.
Some of them AM that covered miles.
Yeah,
miles.
A lot of people give him credit for saving AM radio. You know, his brother, David Limbaugh, is a friend of mine. We're not close friends, but he's been on our program before, and I know David lives in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He's an attorney and a prolific author and just a great Christian brother. And I know that he, he was a guiding influence in Rush's life, as far as Christianity is concerned, and Rush talked about that from time to time. As well. So anyway, sad to hear the news, 70 years old. As you said, had cancer for a year, diagnosed, and he lived a year.
Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing, actually. I think one of the reasons for his success is that he gave a voice to millions of conservatives across the country. Their voice couldn't be heard on the mainstream media because the mainstream media has a liberal ideology. And what happened was Rush Limbaugh comes along, and all of a sudden, not only did it give a voice to conservatives, but the business world, the lights went on and said, boy, we can make a pile of money if we start putting conservative talk radio on our radio stations. Imagine that. And, of course, Fox News really was birthed out of this idea of what Rush Limbaugh brought to the forefront. And, of course, we call him a disciple of Rush Limbaugh is Sean Hannity on Fox. And He responded to the death of Rush Limbaugh this way yesterday, cut number one.
He would say, when the years that he was in New York City, he would say, you know, high atop the EIB building in right. Midtown Manhattan, people would come to New York from all over the country. They'd be asking, where's the EIB yeah. building? There was no EIB building.
Right.
If he was in it, that was the EIB building, any building he happened to be in. He loved God. He loved family. He loved his country. He loved our Constitution. He was a lifelong, he was a student, if you will, of all things America, all things Constitution.
Right.
He was a believer in the gifts that God gave us.
Okay, I found this. Talkers Magazine, which covers talk radio, estimated that Limbaugh's show attracted a cumulative weekly audience of 15.5 million listeners. Mm. So, who knows exactly the number.
Who is that according to?
Talkers Magazine.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know what your source was, but
this is Rush Limbaugh's show. They apparently did their own modeling or something.
Okay. Well, millions and millions of people listen every
sure.
day across America. In fact, I heard a gentleman talking last night on one of the shows that, you know, he in his Rush Limbaugh's program dominated in these big liberal cities.
That's right.
On the radio. So, and he saved AM radio. I don't know if AM radio, you think AM radio will make it, Walker?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
You have to have a niche for AM radio. You got to have talk. You know.
Yeah, people predicted it would die years ago, and it's still around, so I hate to. Hate to be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, one of Rush Limbaugh's close friends was former President Donald Trump. And I think both Trump and Rush just tapped into this frustration out there from the conservative point of view of getting that point of view out there. And former President Trump yesterday responded this way to the death of Rush Limbaugh.
Rush is irreplaceable, unique. He had an audience that was massive. And, you know, he could do something, Bill, and he would get up in the show and would just talk. He wouldn't take phone calls where, you know, people would call in every 2 minutes and that's sort of easy to do. He would just talk for 2 hours and 3 hours, just talk. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I once asked him, I said, do you study for the show? And he said, actually, I study very hard, which a little bit, Harris, said a little bit surprised me, but... But he was a fantastic man, a fantastic talent. And people, whether they loved him or not, they respected him. They really did.
You know, he talked a lot about political issues, but a lot of people don't know other things that Rush Limbaugh did. Kevin McCarthy pointed those out yesterday in his press release on this. He gave millions of dollars away. Now, he's worth about $80 million, I read yesterday. Mm-hmm. And among the many beneficiaries were first responders, cancer patients, children of fallen Marines and law enforcement officers. He didn't talk about that on the air very much, about what he did. He didn't talk about himself very much. But there are a lot of things he did in the background to benefit a lot of people beyond his radio show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be missed for sure. For the conservative movement in America.
Any predictions on who might take his place? I had a prediction yesterday.
Go ahead.
Sean Hannity already does a radio program.
Yeah. And a TV show.
And a TV show. So I thought he might be a candidate for that audience. It's got to be somebody who's going to be like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Brian Kilmeade.
That's another one.
Has a pretty good show on Fox. Mm-hmm. Fox Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Stein fills in for Rush Limbaugh sometimes, and a good friend of his. So I don't know. Maybe he'll be heir apparent. I don't know.
It'll be hard to be as popular as Rush.
Yeah. It won't be Mitt Romney.
You don't think Mitt Romney's going to try out for that position?
I don't think so.
Maybe okay. Jeff Flake. Maybe Jeff Flake.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to wait and see.
You know,
speaking of that, since we're projecting, I you guys didn't even know I was going to ask you about this, but I want to ask you about this right now. Because we didn't talk about this morning. So Walker and Fred had no idea what I'm about to talk about. It's kind of scary.
Fire away.
Okay, here's the thing. You're asking who will replace Rush Limbaugh for his radio show. I've got a ticket for the 2004 Republican nomination for president. You want to know what the, you want to know?
2024?
Yeah. Is that what it is? What did I say?
2004. I was going
to
say.
No, I want to go back. I really like to retro a presidential election in 2004. I've got a ticket I think is give the Republicans the best chance to win. Of course, we're three years away. I understand that or more. See what you guys think about this. Presidential nominee would be Ron DeSantis. Governor of Florida,
right?
You two are conservatives. Would you give him thumbs up?
Absolutely.
Oh, he's a two, rising star.
Two thumbs up.
100%.
Okay, and then for his VP nominee,
Kristi Noem.
There you go.
Wow.
We're tracking.
Yep.
We didn't even talk about this.
Yeah.
Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. What do you think about that ticket, Fred?
Oh, I like that ticket, and the reason we're talking about Ron DeSantis today. Man, what a success he has been with the pandemic in Florida, standing up against this lockdown everywhere. And you know, it's working. Just I read again this morning, California, Florida, case rates the same. California, lockdown. DeSantis in Florida, wide open. And the same result as the pandemic. But also now he's ready to do battle with President Biden, because President Biden is threatening to curb interstate travel, which would hurt Florida.
That's not going to work.
Right.
That's I think it's unconstitutional and un-American, certainly. I think he just floated that idea out there, by the Biden White House did, just to take a jab at Florida. Don't you think so, Walker?
Yeah, that's that you can't. The president has no legal authority to ban interstate travel. Governors may can, but the president can't. So, but that if Biden tried that, it would be all politics, because there's no science behind that. There's no reason to do that.
I don't think he's going to. You know, there was a comparison the other day about how Governor DeSantis from Florida and Governor Cuomo from New York handled the nursing home situation
when
the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida is has an above average. Florida has an older population.
Yeah.
Than probably almost any state, because of the retirees, right?
They moved there. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had more people, more vulnerable in terms of their age in Florida than anywhere else, and yet his rates were lower.
Yes.
The death rates were lower, and he didn't, DeSantis I'm talking about, send in people with COVID into nursing homes.
That's right.
Which is what Governor Cuomo did in New York. And by the way, he's in trouble.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys, do you want to report? Yep. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, there's an FBI investigation right now into his handling, because he sent COVID-positive people into nursing homes.
For 2 months.
Then he lied.
Why would you do that?
Then he lied about it.
It makes no sense.
Why in the world would you send people who have COVID? What happened is they go to the hospital, right, with COVID,
yes.
And they find out they got COVID.
Yes.
They've maybe been in the nursing home.
Right.
And what Governor Cuomo did was, instead of saying, no, you need to quarantine these people somewhere else.
He sent them back.
Sent them back into the nursing home.
Yes.
I mean, that's just inexplicable. Well, it's also
reckless.
Well, he's been investigated now by the feds.
Yes.
The FBI and the Eastern District of the New York U.S. Attorney's Office. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
We invite you to visit Liberty University. Whether you want to explore for a few hours or for a few days, you'll find a visiting opportunity to fit your schedule. Plan a visit to our Central Virginia campus and stay for an afternoon, a day, or an entire weekend. Or check out campus landmarks from the comfort of your home through our virtual experience. Plan your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
North Dakota lawmakers are taking steps to protect biological girls who are student athletes. The state's House of Representatives passed a bill banning students from participating on sports teams based on their preferred gender identity. In other words, a 6'4", 240-pound boy who thinks he's a girl would not be able to play on the girls' basketball team. State Senator Kathy Scrotch says someone has to protect the integrity of female sports, maintaining a level playing field. But critics say the legislation will hurt the transgender community, men who think they are women and vice versa. At least 12 other states are considering similar legislation. Biological girls fear they will miss out on scholarships to bigger, stronger boys. The idea that there's no difference between boys and girls flies in the face of science and common sense. Be sure to download my free podcast. Read more about this story at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. If you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email. If you want to watch online, go to Facebook and YouTube. Facebook or YouTube. Although I guess you could watch them simultaneously. You'd need two computer screens. But it would be repetitively redundant to do that. But you can go and type in Today's Issues and watch on Facebook or YouTube. Before we go to our guest, Jan Markell, I want to ask you one thing, Fred. I don't know if you saw this story out of Edmonton, Canada.
Yes.
Pastor was jailed for holding church.
Yep.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Serious stuff.
What is the, does Canada have anything equivalent to the First Amendment?
No.
Okay.
No, nothing that compares to the rights that we have in this country.
Okay. So freedom of religion is not as allowable, I guess you could say.
No. It is a country, there are a number of stories actually right now out of Canada with regards to the pandemic restrictions and what it has done to churches up there. But this particular one, I think, is the worst that I've heard. This is a pastor that has held services for the last several weeks, and he was fined, I think, over $1,000 back in December. But he, like much like John MacArthur, the story that we've talked about down here, he really believes that churches should be open, that the state doesn't have a right to tell a church you can't hold services. So now he's been arrested.
I saw this article on Breitbart. I don't know, maybe we'll have it on onenewsnow.com later today, but it was
church out of Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah, it was a Christian pastor in Edmonton, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Reverend James Coates of Grace Life Church, and turned himself into police on Tuesday, 2 days after officials attended his church service to assess compliance with conditions issued to the pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before, and thank the Lord for organizations in our country that are defending religious liberty during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, you have, we have three or four very well-known religious freedom organizations, Matt Staver, Kelly Shackelford. I'm just some of the names that our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, Mike Ferris,
mm-hmm.
Nate Kellum in Memphis, with his
Pacific Justice Institute.
Yeah, there's four or five out there who do pro bono work across the country to defend religious liberty. And thank the Lord for them. Maybe we need to have them on, one at a time, the next few weeks to talk about what the state is, what the status is of this in our country. You know, the First Amendment of the United States, the freedom of religion, freedom should not be suspended at all for the pandemic, for COVID.
Right.
No.
Churches should not be tampered with or messed with at all. If you do, then you have violated the First Amendment. Now, churches will act, most all churches will act responsibly, and do what, but you can't start having governors and mayors telling churches how many people they can have in their church, whether they can sing or not.
Right.
Huh? Whether they have to go indoors or outdoors. That's going on now in California for a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
A better part of a year. So you may have, as we mentioned last spring when all this broke, you may have a temporary emergency situation that almost every church in America was complying with the CDC recommendations, if they were meeting at all, for about 2 months. You remember that?
Yeah.
All over the country, red states, blue states, didn't matter. Well, after about 8 weeks, the churches started saying, hey, hold on just a minute. We didn't sign up for total submission to government on how we conduct our business here at our church. And we're going to go back to worship. And some of these governors, especially I'm thinking about Newsom and some of these city commissioners and counties, they just decided they would just take advantage of COVID and just start putting these, you can have church, but you can only have 25%.
Right.
And you can meet outside between the hours of 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
Drive-ins.
Huh?
And I think one of the points was that these churches started to make, wait a minute, you still allow hundreds of people into stores and casinos.
Sure.
they're not practicing social distancing as they're shopping for their groceries.
No.
So why are you imposing, are the rules, the virus isn't intelligent so that, the virus goes into a casino and says, okay, I don't touch anybody here.
Yeah.
But all
I know.
That was one of the major cases that John MacArthur and others made in their fight against authorities in this case in California. Why the hypocrisy, folks?
I'm just saying, if you're willing to suspend the First Amendment of the United States, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble peacefully, freedom of religion, if you're willing to say, okay, the government has ultimate control over that, then for COVID, let's say, then what's the next thing that's going to come along?
Yep.
That they're going to say, oh, this is our legitimate reason for shutting down churches or suspending the First Amendment. I'm just saying that is a slippery slope if you're going to concede that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We can talk more about that, but maybe get Matt Staver on, Kelly, some of these folks. They all do wonderful work. I'm talking about these Christian legal organizations that do free or pro bono work. Joining us now from Minneapolis is our good friend Jan Markell. She is host of Understanding the Times Radio, heard each weekend here on American Family Radio. She's also the founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and she does ice fishing. She tours on the side, I think. Jan, good morning to you.
Yeah, I interrupted my fishing today just for you guys.
let me ask you this. Is ice fishing just what it looks like? You have a lake covered with ice. You dig a hole, if that's what you call it, dig it. I don't know. And you drop a hook down there? Is that it?
Yeah, well, a little more elaborate would be, of course, you have an ice house.
Yes. Okay.
That you sit in and watch TV in and relax in and have a heater in. But more primitive, you just go cut a hole and sit there in the freezing cold wind without a nice house.
Sounds fun to me. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do that.
It's very, very popular. Yeah. Very popular up here, anywhere in the northern area, yeah.
Now you're talking about this house, quote, with the fire. Is that on top of the lake too?
Yes. Yeah, but they're very elaborate. I mean, I haven't been in one. I'm not into ice. I'm not into winter, period.
Sounds like to me you've developed a bad attitude over the decades here about winters.
You bet. But listen, no, it's the outdoor winter sports is what keeps a lot of people sane in the northern climate, even from skiing to, well, you name it. I don't do any of it, but they're very popular sports.
Absolutely.
You saw what happened to a bunch of ice fishermen. I'm not sure it was in Michigan. They were out ice fishing and they had their little houses, but a big chunk of the ice they were on broke off from the shore.
Yes.
And they started to float out. Was it Lake Michigan? And they had to rescue these guys.
Oh, really?
You're right, Fred. I mean, I think they're all fine and everything, but you know, there are some hazards that come along with this.
Yeah, the ice moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's the idea of sitting on top of a lake with a fire going on. You know what I'm saying? Because where I live, fire melts ice. You see my reasoning here? And I'm thinking I could be in my sleeping bag, and my fire's going over here on top of the lake, and it melts and I plunge. That's my only concern. All right,
it's very legitimate.
We didn't ask Jan on to talk about ice fishing, but a little bonus there, the advertising for the great state of Minnesota. Fred, you had a question for Jan.
Yeah, Jan, you live outside of Minneapolis, but you're certainly knowledgeable of what goes on inside Minneapolis. And, you know, over the last year in the wake of the George Floyd death, they had a big push. They were going to defund their police department. But then a strange thing happened last Friday. The city council there actually voted to give the police department over $6 million more. And the reason was crime has skyrocketed in Minneapolis. Violence. The people are upset because, they don't have enough police officers to respond quickly to 911 calls, and they're having real trouble finding police to come in new recruits.
It is a terrible, terrible mess here, and it's caused by, no surprise, liberalism run amok. And you're right, Fred, recently they called for the abolishing of police here. They're still singing that song, but I think reality has hit them square in the face. We have the George Floyd trial coming up, which will begin, I believe, late March and probably run well into April. And they're well aware that the potential fallout from the Floyd trial, which again will, and by the way, I'm only 20 minutes from where 5 miles of Minneapolis no longer exists. So I'm in a suburb about a suburb near to the Twin Cities, and it's a shocking scene to drive down 5 miles of one of our major streets in Minneapolis and see it entirely wiped out, which happened May 25th, I believe, 2020. And from there, that kind of rabble-rousing skipped not only across America, but Australia, Europe, and other places, and it began right here in the Twin Cities. But the point is, we got a trial coming up, and is this going to result in more mayhem? And I think so, and I think this has prompted our city council to have to do a reality check and talk about hiring more police. Now, I think the wild card question here is who would want to be a police officer today?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in cities like these big liberal cities like Minneapolis.
Right.
And I was reading yesterday, Jan, Minneapolis is down to Minneapolis, Minneapolis proper. Now the Twin Cities there in Minnesota, rather, I don't know, 3.5-4 million people, probably something like that.
Yes,
I'm guessing city proper, Minneapolis is more like 600,000-700,000 people, I think. But still, they were down to, I want to recall, somewhere between 600 and 700 police officers.
Well, that is correct, and the reason, I don't know the exact count, but I know they're way down, and the reason is because police officers are demoralized.
Right.
They've quit, they've retired, they've gone on medical leave, and who can blame them? And to see what they have gone through, particularly last spring and summer, and the abuse they take, and, I mean, my goodness, I never saw it firsthand, but I certainly saw images of what happened, and I mean, even going after the police horses and throwing things at them, et cetera. So, I mean, we have a society that's crumbling and hates authority. Yeah. Well, you take that to its ultimate, and you have mayhem and chaos ruling. So we've got tough times ahead.
And the bad actors know this.
Yes, and they know it.
They know this. And they know that police are hamstrung. And they know that they're not going to be doing proactive police work. This is and I'm not a fearmonger. I don't think and I don't like to exaggerate, but I wouldn't go to New York City right now.
Right.
I wouldn't go to New York City and walk around. There are people getting attacked in broad daylight, just out and walking down the street, and that's not to mention the gangs, the drugs, and the crime, and so forth. In these big cities, it's getting worse, and kick out police is just idiotic. Let me tell you another thing that's you mentioned, Jan, about reality hitting a lot of these big city councils who wanted to go along with defund the police, because this happened in Los Angeles, this happened in Seattle and Portland and some Denver, maybe some other places, and that is your downtowns have a lot of big corporations. I'm thinking Walker and I went up to Minneapolis and Target's downtown.
That's right, you did.
Yeah.
Target's downtown and some other very well-known top Fortune 500 companies based in these big cities, obviously, Twin Cities included. You've got the baseball park downtown where the Twins play in the summertime. And what I'm saying is a lot of these people who have financial connections to commerce in the big cities, tourism included, if they get a reputation for being crime-ridden, that's going to just destroy the economy of the said cities. Go ahead. Comment, if you would, Jan.
Well, our economy is hurting something terrible. I mean, my goodness, you can't go many, many places in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area without a very high risk of your car being hijacked, of innocent people being pushed around. I don't know that anyone's they've been assaulted. I don't know that anyone's been killed yet, but it is very high risk to even leave your suburban neighborhood at this point.
Yeah.
What a tragedy. Yeah. Minneapolis is called the City of Lakes. Minnesota is the State of Lakes, and it is quickly being demolished, and the root cause, again, is liberalism.
Yeah. I remember reading an article a few months ago about Minnesota and how it was like featured in Time magazine back in the 60s and 70s. This is the new great place to move to, in America because of the natural beauty of the state, the friendliness of the people. You had winter, but you had so many positive things about Minnesota, but you're right, the reputation is quickly leaving them. What do you got coming up on your program this weekend?
Well, we're going to take a real close look at Pope Francis and ask if he could be an apocalyptic player, end-time player. And we're also going to look at witnessing to our Catholic brothers and sisters and the importance of doing that. So that'll be this weekend, Saturday at 1 Central, Sunday at noon Central.
All right, Jan, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Jan Markell joining us from Twin Cities area there in Minnesota. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. A lot of these big cities, Fred, downtown areas are very much commercial, and they host. Now maybe Walker. I've asked Fred a question. Now I've asked Walker a question. Who gets to go first? But the pandemic's caused a lot of people to work from home now.
Mm-hmm.
That combined with the crime going on in these big cities, I don't know if they'll come back.
I've read where some companies on Wall Street are looking to move to Florida to get a lower tax rate.
Yeah,
and not only a lower corporate tax rate, but a lower personal tax rate. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same business. You can conduct all. You can have all of the same business operations in Florida as you have in New York on Wall Street and avoid all the taxes.
So
there was an article, to your point, Walker, I think it was last weekend. Sure, the New York Times did it, whoever did it. But there was a very famous restaurant in downtown New York City. And because of all the restrictions there, if you can believe this, the mayor of the city, de Blasio, said, okay, you can open up, but it has to be outside. You have to put your tables outside. This is February, outside in New York. So what these restaurants are doing, let's just make up a restaurant name, Joe's Restaurant. What Joe's Restaurant has done is moved down to Fort Lauderdale. So it's not only people moving from New York because of what's going on there, but it's also whole businesses. The same restaurant that was in New York has now moved down to Fort Lauderdale for obvious reasons. So they can continue being in business because you can't survive in New York. This is what's going on in these mostly Democrat-controlled cities. It's killing them.
In Minneapolis, the city council who voted to defund the police now is saying, oops.
Yeah.
Huh? We want police back.
Yeah.
Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah. Reality hit. And they got calls and complaints from citizens, their constituents, mad about the hot spike in crime, spike in shooting, spike in murders.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. Go ahead, Fred, next story.
Yeah, got some great news out of South Carolina. The Senate there and now the House yesterday in South Carolina, controlled by the Republicans, gave passage to the South Carolina Fetal Heartbeat and Protection from Abortion Act. That's a long name, but what it's going to do is save thousands of unborn babies. And basically the law says this. By the way, it was passed by 79-35 with pretty well all Democrats voting against it. And the governor there, Republican Henry McMaster, has already said he's going to sign it. And basically the law is this. A doctor, as soon as a heartbeat is detected in that little unborn baby, that baby is protected. Now, they did put a provision in there that there are exemptions in the case of rape. So that is in there. But I want you to listen to a little bit of the, I'll call it, conversation yesterday in the House. And I'm going to let you guess whether it's a Democrat or a Republican voice that you're hearing as they went through the debate on this bill. Cut number 3.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, the Democratic caucus will exit the House floor and leave you all to the farce, which is a debate about life.
That fetus, that infant, did not make bad decisions. They are innocent. They are innocent and don't deserve to die just because the mother made a bad choice one night.
I don't know. Maybe I missed some of your pro-life comments on January 6th.
And Governor McMaster, if you can hear me, I'm calling on you to sign this bill tomorrow after third reading before we leave this chamber.
By a vote of 79 to 35, Senate 1 receives second reading by the body.
Well, there you have it. That first voice was Democrat Todd Rutherford. Did you hear what he referred to it as a farce?
Yeah, and this bill about life, he said?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good for South Carolina. That passed overwhelmingly, 70-something to 35.
79 to 35. And they, of course, joined several other states now that are passing similar bills, with the hope being that eventually all of these, they're being contested, of course, these are going to go up to the United States Supreme Court, and maybe, just maybe, something is going to change there.
Yeah, and so some of these bills get struck down in the court system, but we have to keep trying.
Yes.
Because all it takes is one case being upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And we've made a major leap in saving unborn babies. So good for South Carolina.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court of the United States right now is the best positioned it's been since Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the hopes of having a pro-life majority,
yeah,
when these state laws make it up to the state pro-life bills make it up, well, their bills, their laws now in several states make it up to the United States Supreme Court.
Tim, I think you've talked about this before. It's not so much maybe Roe v. Wade overturned as it is, maybe the court would say this is really a state jurisdiction we're talking about there and give this jurisdiction back to the individual states?
That's the best you can hope for, and I think that's a real possibility. Mm-hmm. And you can thank President Donald Trump mainly for that if it happens, because Justices Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
They were put on the Supreme Court, and one of the primary, because of their conservative judicial philosophy, including allowing states to regulate abortion on their own, not be told. You know what I'm saying? If South Carolina wants to pass a pro-life bill protecting unborn babies, or Kansas, as Kansas did recently, mm-hmm. Several other states have, they ought to be allowed to do so.
Right, because that's what Roe versus Wade is. That's the premise of Roe versus Wade, if it's overturned, is that instead of the Supreme Court picking and mandating and controlling the issue of abortion, it'll be the states to control it.
Right, right, absolutely. And let's say in today's climate, that's the best we can hope for. That would save a lot of unborn babies.
Yeah.
But the you mentioned under President Trump, the pro-life movement saw great advances.
Oh.
And was given a voice. And now you have a president that is 180 degrees to that. Joe Biden has forsaken the Hyde Amendment. He wants taxpayers' dollars, millions more taxpayers' dollars, to pay for abortions. So there's a distinct difference.
Personally, I think he's in danger of being kicked out of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
If they have a backbone,
there's a possibility of that, because this guy claims to be a, quote, devout Catholic when he's pro-abortion to the hilt.
Yes.
You can't be both. You just can't.
Right.
You just can't be both. All right, we shall return after 5 minutes. So we got news straight ahead. Walker, Fred, Tim, we will be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.